I move to extend.
For how long?
9:51.
10 minutes?
Okay. Is there any objection to 10 minutes more on this item? Okay, hearing none, we have 10 more minutes.
Okay.
So,
could somebody mute their phone who's ever outside? Thank you.
Yeah, that would be helpful. Okay, so let me give Lydia a chance to give the motion, and then I'll come back to Jane to speak.
Okay,
and
so the motion is the PNB Elections Committee recommends to the National Election Supervisor that each station's ballot provide the opportunity for voters to rank each candidate individually, regardless of the number of candidates, even if that requires a larger ballot. And I also just wanted to ask Terry if he has access to any of our previous ballot designs, because at KPFK we have had a history of having a lot of candidates, and as I said, in 2004 we had 52, and I don't ever remember having multiple pieces of paper or having to fill out a ballot front and back. So there must have been some kind of an accommodation. Someone, do you have access to any? Did anybody give you any historical?
I've looked at some ballots, and I believe in 2004 it was a hand count ballot like it was in 2003, where people simply wrote in a numeral. It was not a scan ballot, I don't think. So there was no issue. We're using a scan ballot.
Right, right.
And when they had that many candidates, they didn't use a scan ballot.
Oh, I thought we did do scan. Okay.
I don't think it was in 2000. I don't think that happened till like 2006.
Okay.
Okay. So Jane was next.
Terry, is there a maximum size for the ballot? Could it be an 11 by 17 piece of paper?
No, not really. In terms of the scanners, they have high-speed scanners, industrial scanners that they can feed the ballots to quickly. They can do a legal size piece of paper, so that could have all the candidates listed on one side, but you can't fit can't fit 38 columns of bubbles and have people not, you know, just go cross-eyed.
They can't do an 11 by 17 piece
no,
of paper?
No, the scanners can't handle that.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, could someone please mute?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. All right.
And it can't be landscaped? Did you just say that the ballot...
You can, but then you can't fit all the candidates' names.
You can either have
enough space for all the candidate names or enough space for all the bubbles, but you can't do both.
Okay. Does anyone else want to speak on Lydia's motion?
Unless you go to, like, you know, 8-point type or something.
Okay.
Well, I guess I would like to speak to it.
Oh,
I'd like
sure.
to speak
no,
against,
no. By all
speak
means.
Against
go ahead.
It because I think it's very unvoter friendly to have a ballot that has such tiny print or that uses front and back or has so many columns. It's, especially since mathematically, you know, I would be willing to bet my life savings that whether somebody ranks somebody 20th or 21st is not going to make any difference in the election outcome. I mean, it's mathematically possible that it could, but it's just not going to. I mean, usually most every voter will get their first choice, and they'll have a fraction of the vote go to their second choice or third choice, another fraction go to their fifth, sixth choice, whatever. But it's just – it doesn't really affect the election to have that many columns. It's just busy work and makes it harder for the voter.
Okay. Does anyone else want to speak on that?
This is Lydia.
Yes.
I just have a question. So, Terry, pretending that this is 6 months from now and we have to go all over again, do you foresee some way of explaining this to people? That's my greatest concern, is that this is done midway and that there was no pre-thought by any of us, this committee included, to this possibility. And that we'd run into problems. I didn't remember ever having had a problem, but some way that we can, alert people who are going to be candidates that this is how it's going to be. And even now, I think if we can prepare them some way to explain it more concisely, that would be very helpful. And by the way, my motion was only meant to be advisory.
Right, I know.
We are in the scheme of things. but I did also want to make it for, you know, the next election and see and have some record of it. But it's a question, too, to you.
I'm sorry, you have to rephrase what the question was.
The question is, can you think of a way to explain this concisely to the candidates? Number one, right now, because they're already candidates and they have a certain expectation. And number two, going into next year's election, before people become candidates, to have some kind of, maybe before the whole election cycle starts or something, is to have more training around STV, where then, you know, there isn't as much speculation as to what could have been or whatever.
Well, I don't see how the number of ranking columns has any effect on a candidate. It won't affect any candidate if we limit the number of columns, and it won't affect, it shouldn't affect them whether they decide they want to run or not. I mean, you need to get a first or a second choice. You need to get a lot of first choice votes to have much chance. You need to have a lot of high rankings, first, second, third, fourth rankings. You know, getting a 21st or 28th ranking, it's just, you know, it's
meaningless.
As has been pointed out, mathematically, it is possible that that could be very meaningful in a particular unique circumstance. In real-world elections, it just, you know, like in Cambridge, Massachusetts, which uses STV to elect their school board and their city council, they have 9 seats. And 90% of the voters elect their first-choice candidate. And a few of them end up with their second choice. And, you know, some of the ballots will transfer down to their third, fourth, fifth choice. A few will transfer all the way down to the 9th or 10th or 11th choice. But almost none of them transfer down to, like, the 18th or 19th choice. It's just like, it's, you know, it's, it just doesn't matter in real-world elections.
And it's Ken with a point of information.
Yes.
I'm sorry for being on the call late. So if you were able to favor listing the majority of the most candidates you could, how many positions of voting would you give them? 10, 12, 20? How many could you fit on the sheet?
Oh, how many columns can I? I was proposing that we limit it to something like 20 or 24.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Because you're only looking for 9 seats and 5 alternates or 6 alternates.
And
certainly you don't have to go down to 38 or the full number of candidates. I think that's reasonable. So you're saying 24.
I want to look at the design. I talked to Election Services Corporation about ballot design, and we've been talking about how to fit as many columns, and we basically are both scratching our heads, and we don't have a solution. And so I said, well, what about limiting the number of columns? And I don't have an actual design to look at yet to know whether 20 or 24 okay. or what number.
Well, I'm just saying, okay, I'm just originating that in the real world, if it's double the number of seats, that's pretty good. Because you're going to be able to pick for alternates all the way down. Let's say it's 9 seats, 18 choices, 18 rankings. It's probably reasonable.
Sasha,
that's just
stack.
My opinion.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, Revelin and then Sasha.
Okay, two quick things. Just a point of information back to you, Ken, like at WPFW, we have 20. Listener seats that have to be filled. So, you know, it's not, we're not looking at 9 or 10. We're looking at a whole lot. And my point is that you also don't want the people who are ranking the candidates and voting to say, oh, man, here it is, all these columns, we don't want to do, I don't know what, I'm just going to vote for one person or three that I know and think that they have been defeated by the kind of election that it is. So to that end, I would like to know, is there a little film that is like a 2 or 3 minute film that explains STV voting?
Yeah, go look at the Pacifica election site. There's one right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If you go look at Elections Pacifica, let's see, what is it called? Elections.pacifica.org?
Correct.
What it's called. Yeah. There's a video there from Australia showing how STV works. It's a very nice little video with little children electing school committee or something like that. And it's about 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we should encourage people. I didn't go on the Pacifica site. I just went on WPFW. So
yeah, there will be more voter education around STV.
Right. Okay.
Okay, Sasha.
Yeah, I have a question, which makes me wonder if I'm not understanding STV voting all of a sudden. If you only rank 20 people,
we're at time. Excuse me.
Why?
No, thanks.
Why? Okay. Why would that eliminate the alternates? The only alternate it would eliminate, they'd still be put in ranked order in terms of the number of votes they got. The only person it would eliminate is somebody who got not one vote.
Yes, it has the number of seats. The more seats you have, the fewer rankings you actually need, because the winning threshold becomes so low that almost everybody's going to win.
No, I understand. I'm not
first choices.
Okay, let's say we've elected the first nine, and now we put into order the remaining candidates in the order of the number of votes they each received, and they go on the alternate list when somebody resigns. The next top vote-getter number 10 then gets on the board. So everyone would still be ranked.
Yes.
So this is a problem.
This is Lydia.
Okay, well, unfortunately, we're at time, so unless
anyone... This is just a quick question.
Okay, if it's really quick.
Because we didn't discuss the aspect. But then everyone above the 20 or 24 would be lumped together, any of those minute fractions, right?
No.
So not everybody, like right now, everybody appears on the voting results.
Yeah, everybody appears on the voting results because everybody's going to get some votes.
13 or 14 would not... In the case of KPK, it would not see their name even at the bottom with
Everybody who receives a vote will appear in the results. So, you know, if I received 350 votes, it says 350 votes. If I got 23, it says 23. I mean, yeah, all the candidates will be there with the order in which they finished the first choices, and after the first transfer, after people were eliminated or there was surplus, and then until you have all the candidates elected, and then you have the remainders, all the people who lost. And you will have a record of in what order they were eliminated as being losing candidates. And the last person surviving, the last candidate eliminated from not getting a seat, will be the first alternate.
Yeah, and the only thing that I am consoled by is that if you're going to have that, especially a shorter alternate list, because we've gone through the thing, too, where the alternate
list... Won't be a shorter alternate list.
No, okay, everybody gets... The list is complete. Every candidate is in order.
We have
3 minutes past
where you start over, so... So that's fine, too. As long as we just explain it to candidates, especially for next year, that would be helpful.
Okay, we're past time on this item, so we need to go to a vote on the motion. So, Lydia, do you want to just reread the text of the motion, please?
While you're voting, I'm going to go
off
online.
Hold on.
I have to switch phones. This is Terry. I'm just going to have to switch phones.
Oh,
I'm not going to listen to the count.
Okay, that's fine. All right. So, Lydia?
No, I would like to table this.
Oh, okay. Is there any objection to tabling this?
And not till the next meeting. I want to see how it goes for this election and if we need to revisit it for the next election.
Okay.
If nobody complains, I'm fine.
Right. So is there any objection to tabling this motion? Which means it's, kind of put on the shelf until someone asks to bring it forward in the future. Okay.
Objection?
Then hearing no objection, then the motion is tabled. Okay. So next is...
could somebody mute the doggy?
Yeah, that would be helpful. Okay. Next we had the candidate cart update and discussion, but I think we've covered that. So unless there's something that we missed when we spoke to Terry earlier, is there anyone who has some other point on candidate carts? I think we went through that thoroughly.
Yeah, Nancy.
Right. Yes, go ahead, Nancy.
Can we have the schedule of the carts published on the local website? I mean, I know you cannot order anybody, and you cannot make anybody do anything, but can you at least ask? Because that would help other listeners be able to call in and tell the program you forgot to push this button, or, it would help if the LES, because the LES has an enormous amount of work, and it would help the candidates to check when their cards are played and if they're played correctly. Because we had a lot of trouble last time in the election, like 4 out of 17 cards played on a weekend. You know, 17 were supposed to be played. And if we had the listeners who had computers were able to see it, then it'd be easy, and it would be a nice pressure. I mean, a correct one.
Okay. Carrie, are you
back? Yeah, I'm back on.
Okay.
I've suggested that to all the local election supervisors that they try and develop a schedule of individual cards when they will be aired and try and have that posted on the website. I don't know, you know, whether they will all be successful in getting that accomplished, because some stations, it's like, you know, they're supposed to actually keep a log of what every PSA gets aired, et cetera, but at some stations I get the sense that the only way that can be done is if it's paid staff. The unpaid staff are sufficiently freewheeling that in the middle of the night that nobody necessarily knows what they've done. And so I'm not sure how many stations will be able to actually accomplish that, but I think it's a very good idea, and I've suggested it to local election supervisors and see if they can accomplish it.
Okay.
Well, so, please, I would also suggest that you, if it's not done, that they report back to you that it was refused or it wasn't done. I mean, that's a management is supposed to cooperate with the elections. That's in the bylaws.
Okay. All right.
Well, this is Ivan.
Yes. Hi, Ivan. Did you want to speak? Or?
Yeah, I would like to add that.
Sure. Go ahead.
For the schedule to be emailed to the to those
candidates
who are running, yeah, to the candidates. That is correct, because they can also monitor that too.
Just reveling to the fact.
Okay, go ahead, Revelin.
Okay, it seems to me that with all the things that Terry has talked about that are, sort of breathing down and weighing in on this particular election in terms of time crunches and everything, lists that if a candidate is interested enough and he or she knows that it's on the website, then that is, they should have enough interest to go to the website and look and see when they're supposed to be recorded. I mean,
we'll certainly do that. I mean, in terms of email, it might be simply emailing all the candidates saying, here's the link to the website, which shows where all the cards
exactly.
are supposed to be aired. So
exactly.
we would certainly try and be transparent and let the candidates know, if, assuming that the station is able to go forward and list
and
the schedule.
Uh-huh. I think 1 year they listed afterwards, that because they kept a log that, this is when Revelin, was done, and, they just logged it. But if it can be done before, that's great. But, just be aware all these little steps is work that somebody has to do.
Yeah, I just want to do one comment on this is just be aware that one of the dynamics is that if the candidate carts are bunched, we have to try and make sure that, they're not all from, one slate or whatever in that bunch, that they're mixed and so on, that there is some risk that if a staff person also knows that there's a particular candidate that they don't like and they know when that candidate's card is supposed to air because it's on the line, it might also empower people to get in the way of candidate cards being aired. So it's like, it's six one half dozen the other, I think. But I think in general, in the sense of allowing large numbers of people to be monitoring whether it was done properly, I think having it online is a net benefit.
Okay. So we've had really thorough discussion about carts, so if there's no objection, I'd like to move on. We have a lot of other business tonight. So the next item is the motion revisions of the election timeline, and we have 15 minutes allocated for that. This is actually a motion that I am bringing. I just sent it to the committee, and I'd like to read it. Whereas the Pacifica bylaws, as adopted in 2003 and revised in 2007, lay out a calendar for local station board elections, including specific dates or periods for establishing membership and candidacy and for the mailing and return of ballots. And whereas the bylaws limit the ability of the Pacifica National Board to affect the schedule and in no way gives an executive director authority to change any of those dates or periods or to do anything beyond appointing the National Election Supervisor, and also approving the NES's choices of local election supervisors and facilitating the work of the NES, be it hereby resolved that the committee reaffirms and recommends to the PNB that it reassert to the interim executive director that it is the national board that is in effect, quote, the foundation, unquote, and that she be accordingly guided in all future actions. So that's the motion. I've emailed it out, and just briefly to explain it, this is, of course, in reference to the recent changes that the interim executive director made to the schedule, postponing the balloting date and extending the record date and the tabulation date that, certainly I don't think anyone in this committee, I think we actually discussed and agreed that the two-month initial delay was just sort of an unfortunate necessity for financial and other reasons, but this latter set of changes really didn't seem to be firmly grounded. But in any case, regardless of what we think of it, the merits of it, it's the process of it that was troubling to some of us, that it was done by the interim ED rather than the board. Especially when you get outside of the bylaws, when you're dealing with some fixed dates that now are being changed without any authority to change them at all, at least then if that has to happen, it should come from the body that sets policy for the foundation, which is the board, and not from any managerial person, including the interim executive director.
Okay.
So that's the reason for my motion, and the floor is open.
Jane, for the stack.
Okay, go ahead, Jane.
So since this is not going to have a material impact on the next 4 to 8 weeks, but some of the other items are, I didn't understand that's what this item was going to be, or else I would have suggested it be near the bottom. It sounds like a very interesting motion that you put out here, but it sounds like it's going to affect future activities. Am I misunderstanding anything here?
That's partly correct, but just because there's, one calendar change was announced a few weeks ago doesn't preclude the interim executive director from deciding next week that she wants to make further changes in this year's calendar. So it could affect this year's calendar, and as you say, it certainly will affect next year's. But it's not inconceivable that, something could happen this time, and this is designed to prevent any more unilateral decision making.
Are there any directors that think this is going to could even?
Masha for the stack,
and this is Lydia.
Okay, I'm sorry. Finish, Jane. Finish your.
Yeah,
your
I just
question.
Wondered if it's even realistic. I mean, I would just like to see this move back behind the other things, seeing as how it's already 10:15. That's all.
Okay, so that's a motion to postpone. So under Robert's rules, that goes. We immediately discuss and decide on that rather than the underlying motion. So, Sasha and Lydia, do you want to address the motion to postpone?
This is Lydia.
And Sasha, you spoke first.
Yeah.
Then Sasha and then Lydia.
Yeah, I want to say that I think Bob's point of, we have 2 months yet to go, or more than that, actually, and dates could be changed once again, that I think it is actually something that applies to this election. So, and I'm in favor of that. It would seem to me that there is a system put into place that we need to follow until such time as that governing system gets changed.
Okay, Lydia?
Yes, yesterday in public session on the PMB Coordinating Committee, the interim executive director made it a point to say that she explored just recently the idea of canceling the election and altogether for issues of finances and so forth. And going to court, something about an injunction or whatever. But anyway, and so I don't know who she explored it with or how it came back or whatever. So given this, you know, all of the volatility right now and given the recent experiences, I think that this is imminent, and I do not think that we should postpone because like I said, this was last night when we heard it in public session.
Okay.
And she changed her mind, by the way. So that's why she said delayed signing the contract, which last night she confirmed what Terry had said, that she signed the contract with the balloting firm.
Okay. So any more discussion just on the motion to postpone?
And you hear?
Oh, go ahead.
I don't think you can hear me. I don't know. I think I've said this number of times before.
Well, it's the first time I've heard your voice.
I understand that, but maybe it's my voice that is not carrying. But I think, you know, I understand what your motion, and I agree with it in principle. But I would like to emphasize that it needs to be from now on. It wouldn't affect any decision that has been already made. It would not affect any decision that is already made, meaning that cannot be retroactive, shouldn't be retroactive. But from now on, if anything comes up, that any decision or any changes need to be made, it should be in effect, you know, what your motion would be in effect from now on. And rather than be postponed to the next time, I think your motion has a lot of
Were you finished?
Hello?
Manager? It sounds like she's having a phone problem.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Hold on. Maybe it's the phone problem, but I just want to make sure that this motion is not retroactive, but also is going to be effective from now on, from the time that we vote on it, if it passes on, and it would affect this election as well, that the decisions are not made by interim executive director, and it's taken to PMB to decide about them and not postponed to the next election. Thanks.
Right. Well, let me just clarify by rereading the last part of the last sentence. It says the National Board is, in effect, the foundation, and that she, meaning the interim executive director, be accordingly guided in all future actions. So future would be starting from when it's passed.
No.
When it's
passed. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay. Can we go, any objection to going to a vote just on the motion to postpone, and then we can come back to the merits of the motion itself? Okay. Hearing
this,
none? I'm sorry.
Shane?
Yes.
Yeah, I would withdraw the motion to postpone.
Oh, okay. Very good. Okay. Let's see. Revelin, how many more minutes do we have to discuss
this? We are to stop at 10:26, and it is 10:19, 7 minutes.
On this item?
Yeah.
It was 15 minutes,
right?
Oh, okay. Oh, no, I thought we'd used up more of the time. Okay.
We started at 10:11.
Right.
And 15 is 10:26.
Okay, very good. I mean, we're not obligated to take the full time because we do have several other items.
Right.
So does anyone else want to speak to this, or are we ready to vote on the underlying motion?
I move to vote.
Okay, sure. Okay.
Do you want me to read it?
Well, that's okay. I can read it. Whereas the Pacifica bylaws, as adopted in 2003 and revised in 2007, lay out a calendar for local station board elections, including specific dates or periods for establishing membership and candidacy and for the mailing and return of ballots, and whereas the bylaws limit the ability of the Pacifica National Board to affect the schedule and in no way gives an executive director authority to change any of those dates or periods, or to do anything beyond appointing the National Election Supervisor, approving the NES's choices of local election supervisors, and facilitating the work of the NES, be it hereby resolved that the committee reaffirms and recommends to the PNB that it reassert to the interim executive director that it is the National Board that is, in effect, quote, the foundation, unquote, and that she be accordingly guided in all future actions. Okay, so we're now going to call the roll, Jane, if you would, on a yes vote supports the motion and no vote opposes it.
Okay.
Well, actually, let me see if we can save any time. Is there an objection to the motion?
Yes.
Okay, then go ahead and call the roll then.
Andrea Turner.
Pass.
Anthony Seth.
Abstain.
Sasha Puchon.
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Pass.
Lydia Brisson.
Yes.
Michael Novick.
Yes.
Nancy Sabaranotomi. Nancy, are you there?
I'm sorry. Yes. Voted yes.
Teresa Allen. Wesley Bethune.
Yes.
Bob Letter.
Yes.
Manajay Saba. Manajay. Nia Bediako.
Yes.
Jane Gatewood is abstaining. Reverend Gold.
Yes.
Fred Blair. Oh, Fred's not here. Ken Aaron. Ivan Alphine.
No.
Going back, Andrea Turner.
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Make it a no.
Teresa, are you there? Manajay, are you there?
Yes.
And is your vote a yes?
Yes.
Ken Aaron, are you there? Okay. The motion passes. I'll give you the vote in just a second.
Okay. Thanks very much. While you're counting, let me just go on because we're getting very close to the time we had set for adjournment. The next item is procedures for processing complaints about alleged violations of fair campaign provisions. We have 15 minutes for that. Why don't we see how we do, and you know, if we need to move to extend, we can always do that. So let me start by asking Terry if you could just lay out for us what is the current procedure if someone files a complaint alleging that, you know, one of the provisions of the fair campaign provisions was violated by either a candidate or a staff member or a manager. What are the steps that you've instructed the LESs to follow in processing that complaint?
Well, first off, we have Otis has just finished work on a web page where we're going to post fair campaign provision violation allegations. The local election supervisor is supposed to initially contact the person who the allegation is about, get their side of the story. We're going to require that, that any complaint be basically filled out on sort of a form so that it's not just an email thing. I heard someone do something really nasty on the air, and it was somewhere around Thursday or Friday, and you know, vague things. It's going to have to be the documentation and evidence is going to be provided to the local election supervisor. They will then do the investigation and issue a decision, and it will be posted up on the website. And if the person is aggrieved and not satisfied with that, they can appeal it to the national election supervisor, and I will sort of repeat the process from my perspective, and so I will be the appeal board, as you will. That's it in a nutshell.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds like a very good process in many respects. I've been thinking about this a lot because there's been so many complaints over so many elections that many people on all sides have said that they didn't think the procedures were really thorough and adequate and provided due process and time frames and things like that. So based on all that and kind of looking back to experience, I actually wrote up a motion, which I'll send out now, which, of course, is advisory, like other conversations we've had before. We recognize that neither the committee nor the board can tell the NES what to do, but I just would like us, if folks agree with me, to weigh in on what we think would be an ideal process. And it actually encompasses quite a few of the pieces that you've already mentioned. So in that respect, I apologize if it's repetitive, but it also has some pieces that you didn't mention and that I would like to ask your opinion about after I read it. So let me just read it, and then you can weigh in, and then we'll open it up to the committee. Okay, so here's the text. In order to ensure fair, timely, and properly publicized decisions on complaints alleging violations of the fair campaign provisions, the PNB Elections Committee recommends that the National Election Supervisor establish and publicize a process such as the following. Number one, the LES or NES should acknowledge all complaints by email within 48 hours whenever feasible. And by the way, when I say LES or NES, I recognize that the vast majority of complaints should go to the LES, but there are occasional ones that might have to do with, behavior of national staff or whatever that might originally be sent to the NES. So that's the only reason that NES is mentioned here. Okay, back to the text. Number two, if the LES or NES determines that the complaint warrants investigation, the LES or NES should as quickly as possible forward a copy of the complaint to the party alleged to have violated the FCP with instructions on how and by when that person can file his or her response. If the complaint is being handled by the LES, both the complainant and the person complained against should be notified of their right to appeal any decision to the NES and any procedure and deadline for doing so. If the complaint appears without merit, the subject shall be provided a copy, and both subject and complainant should be notified that no action was taken. Three, if the LES or NES finds that a rule was broken, she or he should cite the rule and explain specifically in what way it was broken. Copies of the written ruling should be sent to both the complainant and the subject. Four, all decisions on complaints found to be valid should be rendered as quickly as reasonably possible, but no later than 10 days after receipt. Five, all decisions, and this is the last point, all decisions on complaints found to be valid should be posted on the Pacifica Elections website to provide guidance to candidates and staff at all stations and the affected station's election webpage. And just the only last comment I'll make is the distinction from what I heard you say, Terry, and please correct me if I misheard you, is that this would only provide for the posting of complaints found to be valid. If they were found to be, without any merit, then I think it would be seriously problematic and prejudicial to that candidate or that staff member, for that matter, to post them, even if it said and it was found to have no merit because of X, Y, and Z. But just the fact that the complaint is up there at all, even if it's rebutted, I still think could be prejudicial. So I'm recommending that it's just that the only ones that are posted are the ones that are found to be substantiated. Okay, so Terry, you can. Respond.
That all sounds pretty reasonable. We went towards the side of transparency that if it is more than just an unwarranted, just a silly allegation where on the face of it it's obviously not valid, we would post sort of the history that there was the allegation and the finding on the website. As for candidates, they're on the elections page. When you look at the candidates, there will be shortly, I think it may already be there, a place right below each of the candidates' names. If you go to look at the individual candidate name, if the candidate has violated a fair campaign provision, it will appear at the top below their name. This candidate was found to be in violation of fair campaign provision on such date. Click here to see the details. We decided that we needed some way of sort of providing some penalty, if you will, to candidates who violate fair campaign provisions. Now, in reality, candidates almost never violate fair campaign provisions because they're very hard for a candidate to violate them. Most of the violations are inevitably performed by staff because 95% of the fair campaign provisions apply to what staff may or may not do, not candidates. And we actually have had some fair campaign provision violations already, and we have one finding, which hopefully will be posted by tomorrow, because the local election supervisor has made a final ruling, and I think she's notified the affected parties, but it hasn't gone up on the website yet.
And which website will that be posted on?
That's going to go up on the National Elections website, and then as soon as we are able to get each of the webmasters to post a link on the station website, there will be a link from the station elections page to the Fair Campaign Provision violation allegation page, or whatever it's called. Right now it's called the exceptions page. That's what Otis called it.
Okay, and just one other clarification. In your current procedure, is the subject of the complaint notified when a complaint has been filed so they have a chance to respond before the ruling is made?
Oh, of course. Well, the first step for the local election supervisor is to investigate, and the first thing that they have to do is contact the person, get their side of the story. That's you know, like the very first thing.
Very good. Okay, and last thing, and then I'll open it up. What do you think of the proposal of a 10-day deadline for?
I think it's reasonable, but there will be individual times when it's simply not possible because of the crush of work that. If the person is dealing with, you know, some ballot emergency, mailing emergency, whatever, there will be times when the local election supervisor is going to have to say, you know, this is important, but I'm going to have to judge which issue it has greater impact on the outcome of the election. So I think that's a reasonable target.
Okay. All right. So the floor is open now to committee members who would like to speak on this motion.
And we have
Ken to the back.
I'm sorry, I heard Ken, and who was the other person?
This is Revlin. We have 6 minutes for this part of it.
Oh, thanks. Okay, yeah. Let us know when the 6 minutes are up, and then we can see if folks would like to extend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ken, anyone else want to speak?
Sasha,
okay. Okay, Ken, then Sasha.
It seemed to me that these recommendations were too detailed, and you're just making it's burdensome on the NES using good judgment to get the campaign to be run as efficiently and as fairly as possible. It sounds like recommendations are equivalent to a California code statute for jaywalking. And, you know, the appeal and the statutory limitations, there's way too much content and, you know, like you need a law implemented. So I think the point would be that the NES has already agreed and is extending himself far beyond the requirements of its contract, make his best efforts to conduct a fair, efficient election with a minimum of campaign violations. And I think that's adequate, rather than trying to set up a precise protocol, which if the field was compliant enough to follow that complex of protocol, you wouldn't need it. Everybody would be nice little people and behaving themselves anyhow. So that's my point. I think it's too pedantic.
This is Lydia.
Okay, so I have Sasha and then Lydia.
And then Revlin.
And then Revlin. Okay. Sasha.
Okay, so this is Sasha. I didn't find it all that complex, and I think it's good to have things down that complaints are handled in the same manner. I think that's really important. One of the problems I think that we've had in the past is, you know, with election supervisors that are perhaps biased in one direction or another, and things may or may not even have been handled differently, but there is that sense of it, you know, or suspicion of it. And I think it's good to have a set of rules and regulations, actually, and I don't find this all that complicated. I mean, basically, somebody has to fill out a form, which I'm assuming is not going to be 20 pages long, but, you know, it will be a page.
I can send you all a copy of the form if you want.
Okay, with the date and the time and so forth, and the candidate then will post a response. I do want to say that I really don't think that campaign violations should be posted anywhere publicly unless it is proven that it was an actual violation. And I had a question, and then I want to make a comment. I mean, we had one complaint already here in KPFA, but it was, you know, as it was explained to me, it was very innocent. The person didn't think anything of it. It was a call-in program. And what you got to hear was, you know, this is Susie Q in Oakland. and then Susie Q in Oakland could speak, and you wouldn't even know that Susie, you know, was a candidate unless you recognized her voice. I mean, so it was hardly a big crime, and she didn't even think anything of it when she called in because, you know, she knew she wasn't going to be identified first and last name, you know, and things of that sort. I have no idea what happened to that. From what I've heard, nothing, so I'm assuming that's okay.
She did a violation, and she was told not to do it again.
Yeah, right, and she shouldn't do it again, and she said that before anybody ever spoke to her about what was going to be told to her, that she would never do it again. She just didn't even think anything of it. But, I mean, it would be terrible to put that under her name then, because no one, unless you knew her well enough to recognize her voice, would know who it was. It was a very common first name, you know? No one would know who it was. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's not somebody on the air, not somebody with a recognizable voice. So I would hope that these sorts of things don't get posted under people's names, because I think the average voter is not going to be that well-versed into all the ins and outs of what all this means. My question is there going to be a space that something gets posted for the candidate in question to have their response in there?
No.
No.
We're not going to do flame wars and back and forth.
No, I didn't mean back and forth. But
yeah, I understand what you're getting. But it's like, no, that we don't want to get into that.
Well, I was just thinking in this instance, the person could say, you know, I was by my first name. I knew nobody could recognize my voice and tell me it's true. That never occurred to me this would be a problem.
That sort of explanation would probably occur in the report of the election supervisor.
That would be up there.
Why it was only a verbal warning and no penalty.
And that is the consequence, is that it gets posted up under your candidate statement,
right,
under your name. That's the consequence.
That's the only
consequence
we have.
That will be doled out to people. Okay.
We can, in extreme cases, we can actually disqualify candidates, but that's, you know, that's sort of a desperate measure.
Okay. What would you consider an extreme?
We're running out of time. We only have one more minute.
Okay. Thanks, Revelyn. Yeah, let's... Sasha, can you just finish up?
Well, I was just wondering what would be an extreme case.
Well, in 2003, I disqualified a candidate who, near the end of the election period, went on as a guest on a program and spent a half an hour talking about the elections and why these certain people should not be voted for. And this was a candidate who went on and did this, and that candidate I disqualified.
Wow.
Okay, so we're at time at this point. So, and there's, let's see, at least two, maybe three people who want to speak. So, would someone like to move to extend for maybe 5 minutes?
I move to extend 5 minutes. This is Andrea.
Okay, is there any objection? Okay, hearing none, then we'll go back to the stack. Next was Lydia, followed by Revelyn.
I favor a process. Excuse me, I have a cold. I would like to ask Terry if he could write up, like, look at Bob's motion and kind of plug in what you explained to us. In other words, what I think is sorely lacking is something that's concrete and in writing, not necessarily by what Bob has recommended, the 2 days and the X number of days, but the process you recommended, which sounds very reasonable to me, and like anything else, I think it's worth exploring for this cycle. If maybe you could send that to us, and in that case, I think I would like to postpone, but I don't want to make that motion yet until I hear the text.
Yeah, I'd be fine. I mean, I can send you the form, and I believe in the manual that I wrote for all the local election supervisors there is a procedure, but there isn't anything that's out there publicly. I think what Bob is trying to get out so that everybody knows what the procedure is, not just local election supervisors and me.
Right. So maybe, like, my request is if you could get back to this committee on that, I would feel comfortable postponing this till the next meeting to see if that suffices, because... for some of the reasons that Ken stated and the fact that you already clearly have a good process in place.
Okay.
This is Manager. I second that.
Okay. So, Revelyn, you are next.
Yeah, I am withdrawing what I have to say. It doesn't add.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, if I can just call him.
After me? Wasn't one person after me?
Oh, was there not? I don't remember hearing another voice. Did someone else want to speak?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay. Well, just if I can call myself briefly, I mean, my point in bringing this was not to, you know, have some absolute, you know, thing that is absolute policy, but just to kind of have an expression of sentiment by the committee that we would like these sort of procedures in place. And as I said earlier, it's very good to hear that several of them are already in place, but I think there's a couple of other key pieces that I would strongly recommend be added. So I actually would prefer if we could do the vote tonight, and since we have had, you know, a fair amount of discussion, I don't think the issue is that people don't understand the provisions, but it's really about whether this seems to be the right direction to go in or not. Yeah, go ahead, Jane.
I think that your opening paragraph is all that we need to look for. I think we would like to recommend that he publicize the process for, I mean, establish it and process and publicize it. It sounds like he could take these into consideration, add them to whatever else he's done. But I think as a committee, I would like to amend your motion to simply state, as if you have in your first paragraph, in order to ensure fair, timely, and properly publicized decisions on complaints alleging violations on fair campaign provisions, PNB Elections Committee recommends that the National Election Supervisor establish and publicize the process for doing so.
Okay, so that's a proposed amendment. Let's see. I guess we're... Revelyn, how much time do we have left?
One minute.
Okay, so really we're just about at time. So why don't we go ahead and vote on the amendment and then vote on the motion after that.
Okay. Bob, this is Mia. I'm sorry, I was on mute and I'm trying to say, why isn't Bob hearing me? I'm sorry.
Sure, you want to speak? Go ahead.
Yes, I would like to speak to the amendment and the original motion. Terry B is extremely detailed. But, you know, I think it's I really like your motion because it gives just that details. Because how many times, for those of us who've been around here for a while, we'll hear, oh, there's no such thing, we didn't know so-and-so, and that this thing is ambiguous, and it's, you know. So I think this level of detail, not that we can dictate to Terry what to do, I'm very clear about that, but I think that we should vote on this as is. And Terry is a very reasonable person. He could extract from that whatever he wants to. He sounds like he already has some thing. But I think for the Elections Committee, which is our charge, that we should vote on this motion tonight and pass it.
Okay. All right. So with that,
about our bylaws. Our bylaws, which I like to call by-flaws. I just want to remind everybody about those. That's all the more reason why we should have this level of detail.
Okay. Well, we're at time.
Yes. Okay. So then that means we first vote on the amendment and then we vote on the motion. So, Jane, could you please call the roll? Does anyone need the amendment read again? Actually, I should say, to be precise, it would be a substitute motion because it's changing it, but it doesn't have
please,
any effect.
This is Ken. Please read it again.
Okay, Jane.
Yeah, I move to substitute for Bob's motion the following. In order to ensure fair, timely, and properly publicized decisions on complaints alleging violations of fair campaign provisions, the PNB Elections...
Please read it so it's understandable, not just... grandchild is listening.
In order to ensure fair, timely, and properly publicized decisions on complaints alleging violations of the fair campaign provisions, the PNB Elections Committee recommends that the National Election Supervisor establish and publicize the process for processing complaints.
For handling fair campaign complaints.
For processing complaints.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So a yes vote means that this will substitute and now become the main motion And a no vote will mean that we go back to the original text and vote on that. Okay, so please call the roll, Jane.
Andrea Turner?
Can whoever has background noise please mute their phone? There's somebody who I think sounds like they're outdoors. Thank you.
A yes vote will accept the substitute motion. Andrea Turner?
Pass.
Anthony Fest?
Yes.
Sasha Fuchon?
No.
Tracy Rosenberg?
Mm-hmm. I'll vote yes.
Ken Aaron?
Yes.
Lydia Brazan?
Pass.
Was that a pass?
Yes, that was a pass.
Michael Novick?
No.
Nancy Sarara Naratomi?
Yes.
Teresa, are you there? Wesley Bethune?
No.
Bob Letter?
No.
Manajay Saba?
Yes.
Nia Beriaco?
No.
Ivan Alfame?
No.
Jane Gatewood is a yes. Reverend Gold?
I'm for the original one, so that's no?
That's no.
Thank you.
And has Fred Blair or Carolyn Burden joined the call?
No, and Lydia had passed, and I'll vote no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And Andrea?
Andrea?
No.
Okay. Just a moment. The motion failed. 6 yes, 9 no.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so now we go to a vote on the original motion without, which hasn't been amended, so it's exactly as I read it before. Does anyone need it? As you remember, it's quite long. Does anyone need it reread?
I'm sorry, could you read the motion again?
Sure.
In the same manner that you read the substitute motion so it could
no be problem.
Clearly and loudly.
Okay, will do.
Whoever read it last was audible. I really couldn't
okay.
hear it.
Okay, got it, got
okay.
it. In order to ensure fair, timely, and properly publicized decisions on complaints alleging violations of the fair campaign provisions, the PNB Elections Committee recommends that the National Election Supervisor establish and publicize a process such as the following. Number one, the LES or NES should acknowledge all complaints by email within 48 hours whenever feasible. Number two, if the LES or NES determines that the complaint warrants investigation, the LES or NES should, as quickly as possible, forward a copy of the complaint to the party alleged to have violated the FCP with instructions on how and by when that person can file her or his response. If the complaint is being handled by the LES, both the complainant and the person complained against should be notified of their right to appeal any decision to the NES and any procedure and deadline for doing so. If the complaint appears without merit, the subject shall be provided a copy, and both the subject and complaint should be notified that no action was taken. Number three, if the LES or NES finds that a rule was broken, she or he should cite the rule and explain specifically in what way it was broken. Copies of the written ruling should be sent to both the complainant and the subject. Four, all decisions on complaints found to be valid should be rendered as quickly as reasonably possible, but no later than 10 days after receipt. Five, all decisions on complaints found to be valid should be posted on the Pacifica Elections website to provide guidance to candidates and staff at all stations and the affected station's election webpage. Okay, so that's the motion, and Jane, if you could please call the roll.
Thank you for reading it.
Sure.
Anthony Fest?
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg?
Pass.
Andrea Turner?
I'll pass.
Sasha Futron?
Yes.
Ken Aaron?
No.
Lydia Brazan?
Yes.
Michael Novick?
Yes.
Nancy Saibara Narutomi?
Yes means this motion you just read, right?
Right. Yes approves the entire motion as I just read it.
Yes. Yes to the entire motion.
Wesley Bethune?
Yes.
Teresa Allen, are you there? Manajay Saba?
Yes.
What was that?
Pass.
Bob Lederer?
Yes.
Nia Beriaco?
Yes.
Jane Gatewood is no. Ivan Alsame?
No.
What was that?
No.
Revlon Gold?
I'm going to pass.
Tracy Rosenberg?
I'll go with no.
Andrea Turner?
Yes.
Revlon?
Okay.
Manajay?
No.
What was that?
No.
No. Thank you. Revlon, did you want to...
Yes.
The vote is yes?
Yes.
All right. Just a second, please. All right. So we have 10 yeses and 1 and 5 noes. Motion passes.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. And we are at time.
Yes, we're way past the
time. We're past the original time. So barring any motion extend, then this meeting would be adjourned. And we'll see everyone on October 22nd.